Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is me, Jonathan Alexander, and I'm here to host our show, Wife, Laughter, Happiness. Today, I have my co-host, Barbara, here. Are you there, Barbara?
Yes, I'm here, and I am so happy to be here. Hi, everybody.
Great. Now, Barbara, being this is your guest, why don't you introduce her?
Okay, but I want you to know, Johnny, she's your guest, too. Oh, I would be so happy to. I know. And yes, you're so sweet. Okay, we have somebody very special that I've been asking Johnny to contact for a while. And she said, yes, I'm so happy to introduce another Miss Younger. We have Miss December 1978, Janet Quist. Welcome to the show, Janet.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here with you guys.
Oh, yes, and I just want the listeners to know what I was telling you before we even got on air, that you always step out as one of the nicest, sweetest, warm-hearted, always had a smile on your face, super beautiful woman that stood out when I would see you at GlamourCon, because we're both Miss December, but in different eras. You're from the 70s, I'm from the 90s. Felt like we had a kindred spirit there. So I'm so happy that you came on tonight.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad to be here, for sure.
Yeah. Well, we start off with this question, and because sometimes you don't even know. There's so much. Where do we even begin to describe our experience with Playboy? When I start off with this question, it seems to just kind of unravel itself. So here we go. Yeah. How did you become a Playboy Playmate?
Well, it was back in 77. I think it was April of 77. And there was an ad in the paper, and several people brought it to my attention. They were looking for the Great Playmate Hunt for the 25th anniversary Playmate. And so we're supposed to go down to the Driscoll Hotel. It's a beautiful hotel at downtown Austin. And so I did that, and I took a bikini shot and then a topless shot. And so 1 week later, I was called out to come to L.A. to do test shots for the magazine. Just one week. It was mind-boggling to me. I didn't even think I'd get a call back. And so I worked with Ken Marcus, and we did some really great test shots and beautiful homes out there. Then, so I flew on home, and a week later, I was called to be a Playmate.
Oh, wow.
So... just a week later, it was unbelievable.
And you didn't even think that you were going to get a call back? That is crazy. But you must have felt like, oh, looking at yourself, you must have thought, I've got what it takes. Otherwise, it would be too scary to even try. So you must have had a very good self-esteem.
Right. Well, when I landed, so it was my first-class flight out of Austin to L.A., and my first limo ride to the mansion. And it was just so weird. I looked up, and Hef was looking out of the, it's kind of like a little tower. And he was leaning out of the tower. And the guy came around and grabbed my bag and opened the door. And I stood up, and he was like waving to me. It was kind of like, it was pretty spectacular.
That is what the dreams are made of. That is the story I want to hear, right, Johnny? Because, you know, the Playmates from even the 80s, and obviously my era, we went to the office. We didn't meet him right away. And we had to do, well, I didn't, but the Polaroid test. That's what most people had to do. My story is more like yours, though, because we're from another town. They fly you in, you go straight to the mansion. But, I mean, Hef wasn't hanging out of any balcony for me. Wow. I think I know what you're talking about. Like, you pull up to the Playboy Mansion, and there's the circular driveway, and then there's a higher point, like maybe above the library, but there's a lot of windows up there. Where exactly was he hanging out, saying hi to you?
Okay, you know the door that you go in, the front door? It was up in his, like, penthouse area, a little suite, and there's like a little round kind of a tower almost. And the windows fling open. And he was out there kind of leaning out watching me. And it was a wonderful way to see him for the first time, for sure.
Oh, yes. And how wonderful coming to the Playboy Mansion and he's at his prime. You were saying that you thought he was really handsome because he was. He was good looking. And
he was so handsome.
Oh, at the time, 1978. And so were you nervous? What were you wearing? Were you into this big time life? How old were you?
I was 20. I think I was 20. Yeah. Cause I was trying to figure that out. And, cause I had my 21st birthday at the mansion and it was really beautiful. They made me this humongous cake and beautiful pink flowers in the dining room, and all my girlfriends were there. So it was really fun. But I think I was 20 when I started.
You're pretty young.
Yeah, it was young.
To do nudes, because obviously you probably never did nudes. That's what they liked to get a model, which we call ourselves models basically when we arrive, but we're just a girl next door basically. Some have never even been in front of a camera except for whatever shot they sent in. Were you like that? Were you still pretty modest? Were you modeling before at all?
Very much. I did do modeling in Austin before, but it was just print stuff and, you know, nothing much. But I do, like you were asking, I do remember the dress I was wearing. It was like a puff sleeved below my knees. That's what I arrived in. Oh, gosh.
We're from small towns. We're from regular, you know, little city. I mean, Austin, Texas, that's a cool city, but you probably had a normal life. And, you know, to go to the Playboy Mansion and all of a sudden, boom, your first limo ride, your first class ticket, and then have this waiting for you like that. I mean, it is unreal, isn't it?
It's head spinning for sure. But it was a blast.
So when you said hi to him for the first time, tell us what that's like, because in the 70s, Hef was really, really involved with the Playmates as far as social. And when I came along, he was married, you know, then he got divorced. So we saw more of, you know, what it was like before, but you never really get that first initial relationship set with Hef. If it's like, okay, you come and then he's married for like 4 or 5 years, it's like that's your relationship. Like, it's kind of like not deep. So what was your relationship like with him?
He was just so wonderful and giving and so gracious all the time to all of us. And he was going out with Sandra Theodore at the time. So he did have a main girl. And so we got to go to all the parties. We'd get all dolled up. And I was staying at the house on the second floor in room 9. And all the girls had a room. There was like Marcy Hansen, Sandra Theodore. Well, Sandra stayed with Hef mostly. And then Hope Olsen, Marilyn Cole from London, Debbie Boostrom. So all of us were just like the girls next door. It was wonderful. We'd all get dressed together and go out to parties and then go to, like, clubs. It was like the parting of the Red Seas when Hef walked in. He just parted the whole club, and all us girls would walk behind him. It was so much fun.
Were there paparazzi?
Oh, yes, yes. It was It was something else.
What kind of car did he take? Because I saw, I would always see the Rolls Royce parked there with the HMH license plate, and he had that, and it was an older version. He had that for many years. Did you guys take that?
No, not, no, we just went in limos. All of us would pile in a limo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love to find out these little details because we don't know. And, you know, when I would see you at GlamourCon, we don't get into like deep discussions about little details like this, but aren't they very interesting to know? The little details. Each woman has their own detailed story. So, okay, I got the Playboy, the complete centerfold from 1953 to 2016 book right here.
Wow.
Big brown book. Oh, weird. I just opened it straight to my centerfold. Weird. That was weird.
Well, Jeff did tell me personally that my issue was the largest selling issue ever at 30 million copies, and because Farrah Fawcett was on the cover, and she was in this martini glass, and it was blue sparkly. So she went to UT, but she's from Texas also. So that was really nice that he told me that. Yeah.
Oh, yes, you got lucky, Janet.
Uh-huh.
You got very, very lucky with her being on the cover, the hottest star at the time. And I did, too. And I think this is what I wanted to touch upon it a little bit with the Miss Decembers in the world. Because, you know, on my cover was Sharon Stone, who was the hottest thing with Basic Instinct. Yes.
Yeah.
So, December issue is special. And I don't know if you knew that, but now you're telling me you're just, I don't know the record, but at that time when I have told you that, that's amazing. And 20 million, that's a lot of people who, you go from nothing and just a girl next door, normal family, nice girl, to instant fame. 20 million people saw you.
Right. Yeah, I'd come home and I was like a little instant celebrity. It was a lot of fun doing, you know, things around here and doing promotions. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to turn to your centerfold, and we're going to talk about it because that is...
Okay.
That is the cherry on top right there. I mean, how beautiful. I just love looking at this book. I never get tired of it. I love the so much attention to detail with what they did with the centerfolds. So first, I want to ask you, you were young. Obviously, you had to find out about Playboy sometime, and you knew about it. Then you knew, okay, I want to go and try for this. So how old were you when you first saw your first Playboy issue? And then how did it develop in your mind of, I want to be that someday?
Well, I don't ever really remember seeing one. I don't know. I think I just got introduced to it in 77 or 76. I really didn't pay any attention to it. It's kind of funny, huh?
Yeah. So you saw a lot of us, we see it around because our dad would have it or something. But that raises my other question about how your parents felt about this then. How did they react when you said, I'm going to go test for Playboy?
Well, yeah, so mother was all for it because she was pretty, you know, open. And, you know, she thought it was a great opportunity for me to get out of town and, you know, do something. But my father, that's another story. he was kind of a high up with a Southwestern Bell phone company. And these to him, and so hey Jack, I saw your daughter, and it just infuriated him. He did not like it at all.
That's hard to go through, isn't it?
Yes, but the cutest thing is my grandfather was actually featured in the editorial front of the magazine. I think it's called The World of Playboy, and he had a t-shirt on. It said, I'm Janet Quist's grandpa. And he was holding my centerfold with the bottom flipped up so you could just see my face, you know, that part.
Yeah.
And so they ran a picture of my grandfather, so he was super proud of me, and that was his
father.
Oh,
good.
Well,
so, maybe
yeah, it was
I
in his Playboy.
Saw that.
Excuse me.
I was just going to say something. It seems like, you know, when it comes to family, sex is always a rough subject. You know, I mean, I'm not saying that it's, you know, even though when they care about you, it's still rough. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's true.
No.
Especially when I was
the
baby.
Yeah. Go ahead. When
you
were a
baby. I was the baby, and yeah.
You
so
were
I'm
the
sure
baby.
He was
okay.
Too happy about that, but that's all. He learned to like it when he got some notoriety out of it.
Later on. Yeah. Later on, they realize, okay, this isn't such a bad thing, okay? Then it's fine. It just takes a minute for some people, especially with the ones we've interviewed, the parents that actually are really in an established position with a lot of employees around them at a job, those are the ones that
yes.
have the hardest time with it, which was your dad.
That was my dad. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But, hey, you know what your dad did and your mom? They created this. Oh, beautiful woman, this beautiful child that grew into this beautiful woman. I'm looking now at your centerfold, and I love it. Wow, and the face is just so sweet, innocent, and they liked
you
being young, didn't they?
It was so cool because I got to create the sets with Ken and his wife, and I got to go out and pick the clothing I wanted to wear and like the props that we used. So we would go out antique shopping or something and pick out stuff to put in the set. And Ken was a master lighter, and he did some beautiful work with the lighting. And Allison Reynolds was my makeup artist. And I'm sure you know
mm-hmm.
Allison.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah, I've worked with her.
Yes. So that was just a dream team. It was the four of us. And it was just closed, and I felt super comfortable doing that because I just got to know them very well. And I would just come in the morning and start taking my clothes off. Let's shoot.
I know, and then you don't even feel nude after a while, do you?
Exactly. No, you don't.
They make you
fun.
Feel so beautiful,
we shot,
not just on the outside. They make you feel beautiful on the inside, too. They make you feel like everything's just wonderful and great, and it is.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
So wonderful. So, we shot 680 rolls of film, and it took 6 months to shoot the centerfold, or the whole thing.
Yes, with all the other smaller pictures around
uh-huh.
it. But I do love this blouse. Everybody, go check it out. Miss December, 1978. Janet Quist, centerfold, is so gorgeous. I love what you chose. Kind of the, to me, it's like retro. It is beautiful teal, the silk blouse on you.
Mm-hmm.
And the teal color was super happening. And you came right after Monique St. Pierre, didn't you? Miss November 1978, because in the book,
yes.
and you guys are right next to each other.
Yes, Monique and I
are
good friends. Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't talk to her as much as I'd like to. Yeah, but, I love her to death. We used to do a lot of promotions together.
I bet so. And she's another one from your era that is around, like you are. You're still signing autographs and interacting with your fans, which is so cool. So let's take a second, though, to let everybody know where they can find you if you have a social media that is your favorite. Tell us.
I really don't. Maybe I should create one, but I don't really have a website or anything.
Okay. You know what?
I acquired
a group. Believe it or not, I just typed it in. I didn't think it would be available. Playboy Playmates was available for Facebook group.
Wow.
I took it. Yeah, it's going strong. I'm going to invite you to that. I'm going to invite you there.
Great.
So then you're going to be able to interact with more fans and then other Playmates. They're just, I mean, we, We're growing, right, Johnny? Could you believe that when I acquired that recently?
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing.
That's
wonderful. Thank you. And my rules on the group, as the administrator, I say if you respect Playboy Playmates and are willing to help in any way, like a job referral or any way, then this is the place for you. We have tons of people on there posting different playmates every day, multiple times. I can't even believe how great the people contribute to this page. So I'm going to invite you to that. So then you'll have a place to talk more with your people. So
I would love that. Thank you so much.
Oh, girl. You're welcome. I know how it went in my era with After You Are Published and You're on the Stands. What a wonderful moment. And all of the beginning and the shooting, how great that is. And staying at the Playboy Mansion is so wonderful. But after you were published, what happened then? Did you just start modeling? Is that what you wanted to do, model, act, or had you even thought about it? What happened right after that for you?
So I did a lot of promotions for Playboy. We flew, groups of us would fly all over the country and everywhere to do promotions, like anything that was needed, you know. And I did that for, like, I think 2 years, I think. And so after I got home, I started working. I was the Lone Star Beer Girl, the one and only. It's kind of a big deal in Texas, Lone Star Beer. So I did. I went on promotions for them, and I did calendars and covers, magazines, and posters. And then I worked for Texas Monthly and also did covers and modeling jobs around Austin. So yeah, that's what I did.
Okay. That's interesting. And also then you were starting your modeling and you got this big Lone Star Beer Girl thing, which I know those are big and they don't just give that to any model. They want somebody who has something. And I always thought when you're a Playboy Playmate, you get offered so much more. All of the posters come your way, the calendars come your way, the catalogs. Everybody wants to use the Playboy Playmate for their project. And I just thought, wow, Hap, you really kept this going to where we're up on such a high status. We're considered so special in Hollywood and just around the world. So, wow, this was an amazing, amazing man. My question is, he was dating Sandra Theodore. What year was she? Because I don't know all of that by heart in the 70s. Who was doing the zoo, and was she up for Playmate of the Year like you were? Was she in your year?
You know what? I believe she was December 77.
Oh, was she Playmate of the Year then? Because how could he not give the Playmate of the Year, his girlfriend the Playmate of the Year? That's what I'm wondering.
You would think so, but no, she wasn't. I don't think so.
That's crazy.
Someone else
got
it.
Yeah, Monique got it, right? I mean, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go to the beginning of your year in the book and see, but I'm pretty sure she did get that. And what was the buzz about the Playmate of the Year? Did you guys care? Did you really want it? Did each person, were you kind of fighting for it, the attention of Hess for it?
I really wanted it. You know, I just figured Monique was going to get it because she was really close to Hef. So I think it probably worked that way that, you know, she was closer to him than I.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes that's how it works. I mean, I've got a funny story about something with her. I never had been upstairs because when we came on, we stayed in the cottage that Barbie Benton built her a cottage, and we stayed there, two rooms, so that's four playmates in there. And the main house was for the family. You know, I mean, I understand Kimberly and Hess and the kids. So, but you were in the main house. You were upstairs. But when I, one time I connected with Monique, we were friends at a party. And I go, I've never been in the Hess room. She said, come on. Literally, she said, come on. She grabbed me by the hand and she just took me upstairs. And we walked right into his room, which was not locked, into an orgy.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
That's wild.
Yes, I did. And there were a lot of people. Yeah. And she got right into it. She went right into the orgy, and I got up on the bed. I straddled him. Like, I kind of was a little playful. Like, not on him. Okay, I wasn't straddling, touching him. I'm standing up on the bed, I'm telling you. And I'm just, like, kind of played around. He's smiling. And then I thought, okay, nobody's in the mood to play around like that. I get it. So I just kind of snuck away from the orgy, and I just didn't touch anything. I just wanted to look around. I went into the marble bath. I went into the marble bathroom. I looked all around. I saw all the shampoo bottles. Like, there were too many for my taste. And then I walked through the closet, and as I was walking, slowly, these cats, these big, furry, beautiful Persian cats jumped at my feet and were rubbing against
my
ankles. Yes. It was like I was out of, like, in a movie or something. It was surreal. And all of his pajamas, like, in plastic there. And I just wanted to see. And that was my only experience, Janet, upstairs in Hess room.
Well, I stayed in room 9, and it was down the hall and around the corner. But anyway, after the flavor of the month came, you know how the new girls come in, sit down to Barbie's cottage. And when I was moving into one of their little rooms down there, Dorothy Stratton, it was her first day there. And we were roommates, and it was just, she was the most beautiful creature I really had ever seen. I mean, her voice was so soft and sweet, and she was stunning. I just, I can't even believe. But so I told her the ins and the outs of the house, and about, you know, what to do, what not to do, and kind of trained her on, you know, how to act. And so anyway, we were roommates for like a month, and it was really fun to be with her. And I miss her so much. I miss her.
She was exceptional. And in that documentary that I recently watched, other people were saying that. It's like she was an impeccable specimen of a woman. Just, and I saw it too. I mean, I see it. I didn't see it in real life like you. But they also said, Marilyn Grabowski said, she was the playmate that was the biggest fish out of water that she's ever experienced, you know, just from such a small town.
Yes.
Life.
She worked at the Dairy Queen.
What a shame.
She worked at the Dairy Queen. Mm-hmm. Yes, I adored her. Anyway, I didn't want to get off on that, but I just remember staying in Barbie's cottage, and that was my experience down there.
Oh, that's okay. You know what? It's not going to all be perfect. And I have a very similar thing that happened to me, which is so strange that I'm just realizing, Janet, which is that when I was shooting, I roomed with Anna Nicole Smith.
Oh, my. That's wild.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And same kind of thing. She came. Mm-hmm. Well, she was before me, May, but we were shooting together, and she didn't want to go out with anybody. She just said, everybody always takes me. Everybody just does. And I don't want to go. And I go, but it's different now because we're all in the same boat. Most people did hate us, we feel, in junior high or high school. You know, they were the jealous type, and we got a lot of it. But now we all have our own month and year. We all, you know, we're sisters.
Mm-hmm.
We're sorority sisters. And
definitely.
She didn't seem to feel that. She didn't seem to come around with that, though, in the beginning. But then later, later at the 50th anniversary, when I was talking to her, she was so warm. She was just engaging me, happy to see me. It was, she kind of opened up. But I think she had gotten so much jealous that she just had put up such a barrier. And that was too bad.
Yeah, she was from Texas too, Mahaya, Texas.
Yep. And you probably know that that's a very small town.
That's
Texas,
tiny,
right?
Very
right? Dairy Queen,
too,
a chicken restaurant.
Have you ever met Colleen Shannon?
Colleen Shannon, no, but I've seen a lot of pictures of her. She's lovely. No, I have never met her.
Well, the reason I bring that up is that you said that you were the 25th anniversary. She's the 50th.
Oh, I was at 25th. Candy Loving got that. They were doing the Great Playmate Hunt, and it was for the 25th anniversary Playmate. So Candy came in January. I was December, right before her.
Oh, okay.
Because she got that
that
coveted spot. Yeah, she got a little more money.
Well, yes, and so that's okay. And I think that was a great marketing tool for Playboy, because not only did they find their anniversary Playmate, but they found a lot of others for
So many.
Great job. I mean, they were very smart. Did you ever travel worldwide with Playboy?
No, I think that kind of started as I was kind of going out the door. So I started my family in 82, and I just kind of started, you know, not doing much of the Playboy stuff after that. And I think they started going to Japan. I was invited to go to Japan, but I didn't go. So I just started, you know, I got pregnant with my son. So
That's fine. So then, but during that transitional process, you did a lot of work, you said, for 2 straight years. Promotional work with them.
Yeah.
So
a lot of Playboy stuff.
When it was dying down and you met your boyfriend and you were falling in love with a guy, when that was kind of dying down, did you feel that? Did you feel like, oh, man, I wish it was like right when I arrived? Or was it just a natural process?
I think it was natural. I think that I was kind of over it. I mean, there can be so too much, too fast, you know?
Right.
And so, yeah, I was just kind of ready to settle down. I was 25 at 26. So, you know, I had my fun, and it was so much fun. I wouldn't trade it for the world.
You kept having fun anyway. I mean, there's the mansion. And did you move to LA?
Oh, yeah. I continued to come up to all the parties, New Year's Eve, like Halloween parties all the time. So I always fly out to do that. And also the Playmate of the Year parties. And that was so much fun, the Playmate Reunion parties. So
it's like seeing all your friends in one day.
Yes. I always came out
invited.
For those fun events.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Of course you were invited. And I think that was a special day for Hef, too. And they kept it. They changed it 1 year, and they had it in Vegas, and it was a nighttime party because of the palm opening with the Playboy Bunny costumes. But Hef kept it to a nice, beautiful day luncheon with all the ladies. And we loved each other. And it was one place that we could just see everybody all at once, and it was just, it really was lovely. It was a lovely day.
I came there. Was it, didn't Robin Thicke play? He was the singer.
Yes.
I went to that. That was fun.
That was so fun. And did you enjoy the Midsummer Night's Dream party?
Oh, yes. It was, I just loved how they decorated the place. It was so amazing. The flowers and the, just the ambiance was insane. It was just so beautiful.
I always thought it looked like a big harem. In a beautiful way. I meant in a positive way.
Yes.
All the pillows, the whole backyard, everybody, was transformed.
Oh.
They put the AstroTurf down so it was clean. We had lingerie on, so we would lay on the ground with these satin pillows everywhere, right? And
it was marvelous.
Flowing champagne. And yes.
Yes. So much fun.
What do you think about that, Donnie?
That was super fun.
He's so quiet.
Well,
he's so quiet.
Johnny,
what do you think about
you
that?
Here?
Do you have any? He always likes to ask what's your most wild or funny or something that sticks out in your mind time from a party at the Playboy Mansion.
Oh,
well,
I have a really good one.
Go on.
Would you like for me to tell a couple of funny stories from the mansion?
Yeah.
Go right ahead.
Yeah.
Go right ahead.
Yeah.
Okay. So we were playing truth or dare, and it was Hef and a bunch of us girls, Tony Curtis, and anyway, so it was Tony's turn, and he ended up telling us that he had made love to Marilyn Monroe in a moving train in the closet on dirty clothes. I don't know why that always just stuck in my mind. He was so funny.
Well, you had the inside scoop to one of the biggest movie stars in the world and hot at the time, Tony Curtis. He was so cool. He was the reason that my mom was okay with Playboy, because she had to sit next to him at a Sunday night dinner party. She's like, okay, Barbara, I'm okay with Playboy. I'm okay with Playboy because of that guy.
Yeah, James Caan lived there. I think James Caan lived in one of the rooms, and there was Shel Silverstein. I got to meet some of the really amazing celebrities, for sure. But another funny thing was Jimmy Connors, and we were having like a tennis tournament up there. So Jimmy Connors was there, Alina Stassi, just some real big names. And so we were sitting there, and I was having a tuna fish sandwich, and they were so delicious, by the way. I don't know what they put in that tuna fish, but it was so good. And I shared that with Jimmy Connors, my tuna fish sandwich. But Alina Stassi was giving out engagement rings to all the girls. He was just handing out these little fake rings. It was just a joke. It was funny.
Aww,
and later on, Jimmy married Patty McGuire. So they met up there that day at the Playboy Mansion.
So many magical things happened because of that place.
Yes.
Hey.
And he was such a doll.
So Jimmy Connors, are you talking about, was a doll?
Yes. He was so cute. And he got Patty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Patty and I used to jog. We would all go work out together and jog. And, yeah, so she got lucky. They're still married.
I love the 70s.
So lucky,
wonderful
girl.
You know, I'm writing all these names down when you mention the names, because I like to go back and look at, you know, what you're talking about. Because I know all these people when we're older, you know.
She was Playmate of the Year. Patty was.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, hey, Johnny, I want to get the top few for in the 70s. But, Janet, don't you think it's a good idea to really try to get those ladies in the 50s? And we're working on it because they're passing away. I mean, hey, we're not saying anything bad here. Hey, Father Time, it happens. And they're in their 80s.
For sure.
And 90s. Yes, so I'm trying to get as many of those as I can. And but they're just, you know, they're not so into the spotlight anymore.
Right. Well, maybe over the phone they would like to do it.
Yeah, I want to get Dolores Del Monte. She dated my dad.
Oh my goodness, that's amazing.
And she was older than 20 years older than him.
Yes, I may have her number, so I'll give it to you.
Oh, thank you. Yes. Normally we're fine. Everybody wants to be interviewed. But the ladies in their 50s, they haven't been asked for so long to do stuff like this, you know? So it's,
this is the question that I have for you. You know how sometimes, like, have you ever been around with a bunch of playmates, and then you look at one of the playmates and you think, oh my God, she's gorgeous. In other words, has there ever been a playmate that blows, that you've seen blow a bunch of playmates away at how gorgeous she is?
Barbara.
Good answer, I guess. Who was your playmate that before you even shot or during the shooting time that you're like, oh my God, I like that centerfold. That looks gorgeous to me.
Well, I always thought Patty McGuire was phenomenal. I'd have to think back. Dorothy Hugenstratton was amazing. She looked like an angel from another planet. I'm sorry, I don't have an answer off the top of my head. Deborah Jensen was gorgeous.
Some people don't. Some people think, okay, when they're getting so excited to shoot and they're looking through all of these past issues, like right before their selves, and they think, okay, I like that one. Sometimes, I like Cheryl Bachman. I thought hers was great. Super hot, purple thing. I like their look. So that's what Johnny is asking. But you answered it, Patty McGuire, and also
Deborah Jensen.
Deborah Jensen. I'm going to write that down. I want to look at her. But you also mentioned somebody, Debbie Boostrom. I got to know her really well. She came to my daughter's first birthday party. Just so sweet. I saw that glamour gone, and she's like, "Oh, I want to come." And then, she passed away?
Yeah, she was one of my very closest friends. Debbie was.
Oh, I loved her. She was so wonderful. I'm so sorry.
Yes, I'm sorry too. I still don't know exactly what happened to her, but you know, stranger things have happened. I don't really know. Sure.
I'm going to check on that because something doesn't seem right with that to me because she was so youthful. She was so beautiful and youthful. She looked 20 years younger than she really was.
Absolutely. Well, so I never really looked into Playboy before I was asked to do it. And so I just got kind of blown out and, you know, like, okay, you're going to do this. Okay, will you be a playmate? So I didn't have much time to research. I was hitting the ground running and shooting.
Well, you didn't have the internet. Yeah. You didn't have the internet back then. We didn't have the internet
Absolutely.
Even when I came on in the 90s.
I know
it. You know, it kind of makes it even more special.
Very special. It was the time of my life. It was so fun.
Oh, yes. Okay, so Marilyn Grabowski, the main West Coast editor, which is very highly regarded position,
yes.
works very closely
uh-huh.
with Hugh Hefner. When I came along, she was there, and I heard that she was there for like 40 years before I even came along, so she must have been there when you were there. What was the dynamic back then in the studio with her? Did you guys always say, hey, Hef wants it this way, Hef asked for that, Hef. Because when I came along, it was more about, well, Marilyn says this, but deep down, she's taking, like, I think all the credit, but deep down, she's having to report every single thing to Hugh Hefner. So we weren't told, we didn't have that exact direct communication with Hef. What was that like for you?
Oh, Meryl and I were very close, and she would come to all the shoots that, you know, that were local, and she was a great person, and she was strict, though. And
in what way?
Well, just like to get things done and how they wanted everything done. And, you know, just she was a strict person.
Did they offer
done.
You alcohol?
Oh, yeah. We'd always have a little glass of wine before we started. Yeah. You know.
They offered it to me, and I said no because I have no problem with it. I have absolutely no problem with it. But if I have even a half a glass of wine, I don't look as pretty. I literally do not look as pretty. Yeah, my eyes, they get a little bit irritated. They get a little... Yeah, I just want it to be there. I just want it to be nothing else, you know. And I just often wonder, because then it was just totally dropped. They offered it, and then I said no, and then it was totally dropped. But then I'm interviewing so many people these 25 years later, and every single cleaning is saying that they were offered the alcohol. And it, but what if there was one?
No, I think I asked for I asked for Chardonnay. I said, I want a glass of Chardonnay, because I felt like I could probably get into the photo shoot better, and it didn't faze me that much. So, yeah, but one thing I remember seeing is Hef would bring centerfolds down on the big table in the dining room, you know, and he would have this little glass, and he would be sitting there looking at the pictures, you know, over the table, like shuffling through all these pictures, and he once asked me for my opinion, and it was pretty cool.
Yeah. Wow.
I miss him. I do miss him.
Me too. Okay, I wanted to tell you about what we're doing special for Hef. It's a tribute to him. And
okay.
We also have a TV channel, and we're going to do a special show for Hef, and we're having a medium psychic come on, and
nice.
We're going to talk to Hef. We
have
75 people on, and I was going to invite, Johnny and I are going to invite many special playmates and just playboy people and whoever, and I'm thinking this would be great for you, because the way you just said that, I miss him, you know. It's so deep in your heart and soul how you do miss him. And this helps people because they are able to say a couple more words to him. The other day, this wasn't even the medium that we're going to have on. Didn't know anything about it. She was on. We had a medium. Once a week, we have this psychic medium because a lot of people like it. So this woman said, Barbara, I see. Are you doing anything with Playboy? I see Hugh Hefner next to you. Can you believe that?
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Well,
and
I would love to
attend. She said he likes what you're doing. Okay,
I would
you
love
would?
To attend. Let me know. Yes, of course.
John, isn't that great?
I know. It's great. I mean.
Okay, so when we have a TV channel. It's on Roku. And
okay.
We have our Roku TV channel, and that's where we're going to be doing it. So when we go on TV, then you can actually see us. It's not a podcast, which, thank goodness, because there's playmates involved, and we want to see those women, right? So we have 75 spots. 75 spots we could have all of these boxes of playmates there to talk to Hef. And I'm glad you want to be a part of that, because we're going to do that soon. We've already done this for Alexis Vogel. I don't know if you know her, but she was a makeup artist for me and a lot, maybe started in the 80s, though. And she died. She passed away recently. But she just, you know, touched us so much. We all had a special relationship with this makeup artist. I do know Allison, and I wanted to go back and talk about her a little bit. This is another amazing specimen of a human. I mean, is she not like
what a precious
young
girl.
Forever? Wow.
I know it. Yes, she's amazing. We traveled to Austin, and she told me that was the most fun she'd ever done shooting a centerfold with me, going to Austin.
Well, you stick out. Janet.
We shot at my house at the lake. Yeah. We
at
shot at
home?
My house at the lake, and it was beautiful. So we had a fun time.
I did a shoot there, Austin, Texas. I did a shoot out there. It was a lingerie type of thing, and they let me bring out my makeup artist. I was literally in a cow field with rollers in my hair with this cutest candid shot out there. So I know, and oh, that nightlife there, it's a college town, people. This is happening town. It's way better than other cities in Texas, I thought.
It's the live music capital of the world before COVID. But we have
even
the
over
best
Nashville?
Music. Huh?
Even over Nashville?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. It's just that.
I didn't know.
Yeah. That's what they call it, the live music capital of the world. And so that's just the slogan for Austin.
And that's where Echo Johnson's from, too. Do you know her, the
she
Playboy
is.
Playmate?
Yes.
Yeah.
I do.
You do know her?
I do know Echo. Uh-huh.
Did you know her before? How did you get to know her?
Well, we just met over Playboy and at parties and stuff. But we're friends on Facebook and
know
her well.
You know how they put two Playmates together? Maybe they did more with your era, but they would put two Playmates together. She was January 93 after me, December 92. So they put two together and you walk around the studios and the offices and you meet all the different departments. And then say, hey, I like you. You're cool. I'm going to hire you for Japan or China or whatever, right? So she was the one that I put with, and she was only 18 and I was 24. So we really bonded. You know, she said, I learned so much from you because you do know a lot more in just a few years. If you're 18, 19, 20, you're not going to know as much as a girl who has lived 4 to 5 more years in her 20s in this entertainment business. So we bonded then. So was there one Playmate that you went and did that with, or was it just like this group?
Well, later on, I met Nancy Kelly, Nancy Harwood Kelly, and she became really close with me, and Reagan Wilson and I were close, although they were before me. But yeah, I really love being with them. And
I love them too.
And then so like Deborah Jensen and I have been close, but she lives in California, so don't get to see her too much anymore.
Where do you live now?
I live in Austin.
Okay, so you went back. How long did you come out? Did you live in Beverly Hills, LA? What area did you live in when you came out to do all of your modeling and Playboy stuff?
Went to Holby Hills, you know, to the mansion and lived there for 5 months. Then later I came back, I married my husband, and I moved to San Diego. So I lived in San Diego 28 years. So I still love it out there. Yeah.
Me too.
I moved back to Austin in 2012 to take care of my father. Anyway.
You know what? That is a chapter. I'm glad you did say this because this is why I'm doing this, and Johnny knows this. I am doing this series because we are people with feelings. We have a heart. We have a soul. We hurt. You know, we're real. And I think that a lot of beautiful women who have been grouped in a certain way are, you know, stereotypes into, oh, well, they've had everything handed to them on a silver platter. Therefore, you know, I don't give a crap what they, you know what? That's not fair. We're in the entertainment industry and we're just doing our jobs and enjoying our life. And there's nothing wrong with that. So that has been a thing that I really wanted to showcase here, that there's so much going on. Like, you have a dad, you're caring for him. I'm thinking about my dad in 10 years. You know, he's 75 now. He's going to be 85. You know, I'm going to have to say goodbye. I'm going to have to, you know, I'm going to be the daughter there for my dad. And you're going through that right now, which is heart-wrenching, especially during COVID.
Yeah. Well, he passed away a couple of years ago. So, that's all right.
Yeah.
But he was a
you
wonderful
were very
guy.
Close.
Yes.
Yes, he was. And he taught you a lot of values and things. And also, just because we are posing nude, I've always said it like this, you described it, and I want to know how you describe it, that the female body, nude, is a work of art. It's beautiful to be admired in that way. And earlier, Johnny, I'm not coming down on you, Johnny, but when you said, oh, when we're in the sex business, I didn't feel like I was in the sex business. I didn't feel like that. I felt like I was in the artistic business.
Wait, did I say that?
Well, yeah, a little bit. Yeah, yes.
When did I say that?
You did. And you know what? We're not in the sex business. We're in the art business. And Hugh Hefner... In the court, Playboy's art. It's not pornography. And that's how I always felt. I didn't feel like I was just like, here's my sex, you know, jack off. I'm sorry, everybody. We're 18 and over here. But, I mean, it came out. And you know what? We're not like that. We are beautiful, and we don't say naked. We say nude. Playboy was very specific about that. And what are your feelings about this? What are your feelings?
Oh, I always just thought it was a form of art myself, and I didn't think anything was wrong with it. I thought it was gorgeous. It's like someone painting, like, you know, some of the statues in Italy, and, we're nude, and it was my form of art. And I thought it was gorgeous back then. We didn't, like, show much, you know, in the 70s. So it was a little prudish. It was pretty prudish back then. So.
Don't you find it strange when you're looking through this book of centerfolds, but not this book, but the Playmate book, where the white one where they show a couple different photos besides your centerfolds?
Mm-hmm.
There are some,
yeah.
I couldn't even believe that there were some that just were showing more, and then some would be way more demure. So it depends on the actual centerfold themselves. But there were benchmarks. Were there any benchmarks in the 70s that you could remember? Like, I remember in documentaries I've seen, first pubic hair ever shown. I know you mentioned this. From Britain, this playmate from Britain, Marilyn Cole. She was the first
Marilyn.
Yes, to...
I know Marilyn.
Yes. Yes. You mentioned her. It's from Britain, and when Playboy went over to England to, when they opened the Playboy Bunny Club out there, it was really happening, and there was a man that Hep had as a partner. And he actually married her.
Oh, yeah. Yes, Lowe. His last name was Lowe.
Was it Roger?
Not Arthur. No. I just... One second. I'll tell you who it is.
Okay.
1 minute. I just...
Donnie, I'm not coming down on you, but you were saying to me, like, oh... People come down on you because, you know, it's a sexual thing. But at the time, I didn't feel like it was sexual. Like, people are going
to
get off weird.
I didn't mean to offend anybody. I'm sorry.
I know you didn't. But I just wanted to clarify how we actually felt. Other people may think that it is a certain way, but how... We felt, Janet and I both, that we're appearing in a men's entertainment magazine showcasing not just the female body, but the inside. They did a story about us, who we were. They cared about us in every single way. And I want to stress upon that now because Hugh Hefner didn't do anything by chance. I mean, this is the way he wanted it to be, and that's the way it was. And I really, the more years that go by or thinking about this, that he made sure of this, where did this come from out of this man? You know, what did he, where did he pull this out from? This idea even, you know, it's crazy. Let's go back to Janet, see what's going on with her.
Okay, so I'm looking for the name of Marilyn's husband, but it was his last name was Lowe, L-O-W-E, and I don't know what his first name was. I can't remember. But
okay,
that's that. Okay.
Oh yeah, and that's that. And you know what? There is a still on right now Amazon Prime Video, best documentary. And it, oh, it's so well made. It's called The American Playboy. Everybody must watch it if you have Amazon Prime. It is amazing. They go from the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. A lot with, they will insert the regular footage of Hugh Hefner himself into a scripted show, TV show. It's a series. Oh, you've got to watch that.
Okay, mm-hmm. I shall.
The American Playboy.
Right,
I'm going to send you that link. So thank you. Wait, what do you say? All right, guys. Oh, it's 6:01. Yes, the hour is up. Well, thank you so much, Janet.
I wish that I could remember that.
Yes.
Okay, well, thank you for having me on. It was great talking
to
you.
If you want me to put that up on our Life After Happiness Facebook page, I'm just going to do it with that info of who that man was. But may I ask you one last question? Going to go
Absolutely.
Over our hour. Okay. Okay. Have regrets, because he said it. I watched this documentary, and he regrets not ever really talking to this partner, Mr. Lowe, about the downfall and him, he had to leave the company. You have to watch it. Everybody has to watch it to, you know, it's too long of a story for me to explain. Anyway, he didn't actually talk to him. That was a regret of his. That was one of his best friends. And I don't think that he really liked confrontation that much. What was that?
No, I don't think so. It probably wasn't anything he wanted to get into.
Like all of us. And then
right. There
was another thing. Remember when, there was the star 80, and why do I always forget her name? Please tell us her name again.
Glorious Dorothy Stratton.
Dorothy Stratton happened 1980, and then Hef went through such a horrible time with that, and then right after that, his partner, which was this wonderful woman, his right-hand woman, there she was, and there's some drug charge, and it was bogus. Hmm. She wasn't doing drugs, and she killed herself, and then he sold the Playboy Chicago mansion and just started fresh in L.A. with Harvey Benton. Well, that's all in the documentary, and he says that he regrets also not talking to her, too. This person was under FBI investigation, yes, and he just didn't talk to her. Sometimes we think that we're going to mess things up if we do get involved too much.
Right.
But how can we get around ever not having any regrets in life? Well, it's next to impossible. So, but my question is to you, if Hugh Hefner can have a couple of regrets and he was so wonderful, do you have any regrets?
Do I have any regrets? I really can't say that I do. I don't know. I don't think I'd be me if I had done anything different. So,
yeah, well, you're good with it. You're good with it.
Yeah.
I love not having regrets. I love that and being free from that. And then lastly, tell us about your family. Tell us, do you have children? And tell us about them. I know you do.
I do. I have 4 children. I have I have a son, and he is a pilot for Delta. And I get to fly all over the world free, which is a real perk.
Yay. my dad's a pilot. I get that. Awesome.
Isn't it fun? And so my daughter, I have my first daughter, Jacqueline. She is a marriage family therapist. And my third daughter has her master's in environmental science. And then Kelsey, my girl, she is into global studies, and she's a yoga instructor. So they're all fabulous, doing wonderful. I couldn't ask for better kids. I have wonderful children.
Well, good job, Mom.
Yeah, I'm pretty proud of them.
Look at this life you've had, this wonderful, unique life you've had.
Very.
And what you've done with, what a wonderful story. So thank you so much, Janet, for coming on and telling us what it was like through your eyes with your Playboy experience. It was really fun to hear. Do you have any last questions, Bonnie?
There's so many more stories. I wish we had another hour.
Well, we'll be back with you for the TV show.
Okay. So, wonderful.
Yeah.
Take care, you two. Okay.
Okay, hold on.
Bye-bye.
Oh, wait. Do you have 15 seconds for me to do the shout-out before we close the show, which means I tell everybody where they can listen to this show and find it? Okay. Everybody, you were just listening to Miss December 1978, Janet Quist, and all of her wonderful stories. They were so fun to listen to. And you can find this and listen to all of our other shows by going to YouTube. And while you're there, Life, Laughter, Happiness YouTube, don't forget to subscribe. We appreciate that support, and it's important. And follow us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. Across the board, Life, Laughter, Happiness. I've been posting a lot, you guys. Fun stuff, interesting stuff, music, movies, TV, stuff like that. So enjoy. And we thank you again, Miss December 1978. Janet Quist. You're awesome.
Thank you, Barbara. Thank you, Johnny.
You're
thank
welcome.
You. Good night,
have a great night.
Good night, Barbara.
Thanks, Johnny.